Welcome back, and thanks for joining us today. It's Todd Zwillett coming to you from the studios of KERA in Dallas, Texas. And here in Dallas, they're trying something different when it comes to addressing homelessness for their students. About 3,600 students are homeless, according to data from the Dallas Independent School District, and 90% are economically disadvantaged. Texas has the third highest number of homeless students in the entire country. And that's why over the last 5 years, Dallas Independent Schools have opened 20 drop-in centers right in their high schools. These drop-in centers provide students with breakfast, juice, snacks, along with other essential items that they just might not have, things like socks, like toothpaste and deodorant. And they're geared towards young people like Brittany.
Like this one time, my mom had kicked me out, so I came to a drop-in center. And I didn't have no food, and she helped me out. She gave me food. She encouraged me to keep coming back to school, because I really was going to drop out.
Bill Zeebel is here with me now in the studios. He's a reporter with KERA News here in Dallas. Bill, thanks for being here.
Hello. Thanks to be here.
Bill, nice first of all, that number I just cited, 90% of students in the Dallas Independent Schools are economically disadvantaged. That's an astounding number.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking. The Dallas Mayor's Task Force, crunched those numbers, and it turns out that Dallas is one of the biggest districts in the entire country with low-income students.
That may be, Bill, but how can it be that 9 out of 10 students there are economically disadvantaged? Is there a demographic divide here where wealthier students just all live in the suburbs?
That's part of it. There has been, well, we've done stories of white flight over decades. For example, the student population in Dallas going back 50 years might have been 155,000. Today, it's 155,000. The population of Texas and of Dallas has ballooned over decades, but those with money and those wanting a quality education, they say, we can't get it at this school district. We're going to the suburbs. So that's where you have the population change. Those who live within Dallas, many of them, low income, minority.
So 9 out of 10 students in that district with economic disadvantage, an astounding number, as we said. The district is trying to respond with these drop-in centers. How do they work?
Well, the drop-in center, obviously the name is, let's keep them from dropping out. Let's make school a safe place. If you're hungry, if you're homeless, home may not be a place where you feel happy and healthy. But school, you're there, a huge amount of time of your day, and they want you to learn. Texas wants you to learn. Dallas wants you to succeed. Let's make this school not just a good place to learn, but a safe place. You can't learn if you're hungry. You can't learn and succeed if you're homeless. So the drop-in center says, we have not only food for you and clothing items, toiletries here for you if you need them. We have counselors. We have ears for you who will listen to you. And so some of these kids, they live with their families, but maybe a home is, renting by the month because there's no permanent address. Homeless, the definition is there's no permanent address. Maybe they're living with a family or mom with several siblings, but they've been kicked out of their house or they're low income or they're immigrants finding some place to live. They're living with relatives. Maybe the kid is sofa surfing. That's the definition of homeless. And so the drop-in center really says, here, you can settle in here for a while. And it's open an hour before school starts.
So, Bill, you're describing the scope of the problem across Dallas schools. You spoke to Mark Pierce, who's the general manager, right, of the drop-in centers across Dallas.
Yeah, Mark Pierce had been the guy who said, let's create drop-in centers. He'd been the homeless operations director for Dallas ISD, but then kept saying, we have so many kids with so many problems. They aren't just at the poorest districts in our city. They're across the district, all over the place. So he said, maybe we need more.
No matter which high school you go to, you're going to find disenfranchised teens for one reason or another. Either not living at home because they can't get along with their family, or they're staying with friends, or they may have lost their family, or you may even have students whose entire family is on the verge of homelessness, and we can help with those situations as well. So I believe in a drop-in center in every high school in the country.
He believes in having it in every high school in this country. Is this a model that Dallas is going to export?
Well, it may be. Whether it gets exported, it's up to other cities, other states. But Mark Pierce says that San Antonio and some other cities, big cities in Texas, have visited here and they're trying the very same thing, putting these centers in the high school. Every district in the country has to take care and deal with its homeless students, but frequently they are at nonprofit centers dotted around the city, not in the schools.
Bill, you've been talking to the students. We heard from Brittany at the top. You talked to another student, a 17-year-old guy, Cameron Williams.
Yeah, Cameron, he's not only 17, but he's his own guardian because he just didn't get along with his mom and he was up against it. He lived at home, then she kicked him out, then he lived with another guardian, and it was like hell.
My mom got to the point where she pretty much said that she didn't want me no more. She refused to, like, help me out with school and stuff like that. So I got to the point where I had to, like, ask for help. And I asked, like, what can I do? And they said, like, she agrees to it, then I can make myself my own guardian.
Bill, Cameron is a young man clearly in need who got some advice at the drop-in center. Is this system well-funded? Can it expand in Dallas? Where's it going?
According to Mark Pierce, the funding is within the district. In the drop-in centers, the expense is just opening an hour early, and many of these folks, they're already in the school. So it's like find a room, and then you get some nonprofits to help stock it with some kind of like a small food pantry, you know, clothes and stuff like that. There are donations. And so I think it's well-funded. Mark Pierce says it's well-funded, and so they just have to find a room across in high schools, and they can.
And when will they be able to show results? Obviously, food, socks, toothpaste, important on their own. What about the number of kids they keep in school, the number of kids they keep from dropping out, things like that?
I looked for those numbers, and Mark Pierce says they're still crunching those numbers, but points to several hundred kids who graduated, and so that's a success. But it's hard to know, would they have dropped out? It's hard to know. You hear Brittany McCowan say, oh, I would have dropped out if not for the drop-in center. It's hard to track those numbers because if the kid suddenly gets a home, they stop showing up at the drop-in center. I mean, they're in and they're out. It's kind of a transient population. It's hard to track anyway. It's hard to track, actually, how many students a district has who are homeless because who wants to admit it?
Bill Zeeble with KERA News here in Dallas. Thanks so much for being here.
My pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.